Now, getting started in your career can be hard, but being successful after you get the job is difficult too. Our next guest says starting a new job can be like visiting a foreign country or like your first day of school. He says there are unspoken rules in the work world, and while some people learn them early on, others have to figure them out the hard way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What were some of the challenges you ran into maybe when you were starting off your career? What do you wish you knew then that you know now about getting along at the work world? What have you done to overcome challenges? How has it worked out for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Gorik Ng is a research associate at the Harvard Business School's Managing the Future of Work Project. He's a career advisor at Harvard and author of the new book, The Unspoken Rules, Secrets to Starting Your Career Off Right. Gorik, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
In your book, you talk about, actually, you start with your mom's story about the first time you figured out that there were these unspoken, unwritten rules over how to find and get jobs. Can you talk about that a little?
That's right. It was a few decades ago now, but I was 14 years old, minding my own business, when all of a sudden my mom came home with a slip from her workplace. It said that she had been laid off due to a downsizing. She had spent her life working in a sewing machine factory and had never written a resume or cover letter before. So I, as the person in the house who knew how to get onto the internet, who knew how to use Google or whatever it was back then, became the person to step up and to help her get back on her feet. So I went to the public library during my recesses and after schools to learn how to write resumes and cover letters. And then evenings spent coaching my mom over the dinner table all through trial and error. And it was from that experience that I realized, wow, there's so much more to building a career than just reading job descriptions online and following the explicit directions. There's so much that's unspoken and unwritten.
And then you kind of relive that as you were, I think, the first college graduate in your family, the first person seeking the kind of jobs that you'd want after getting that college degree. What kind of things did you run into that made you think more about these unwritten rules?
Yeah, I remember this one time I was walking home from the library on campus. I was decked out in jeans and a hoodie. My classmates were dressed up in suits. They were walking in the other direction. Turns out that they were off to an invite-only recruiting event put on by one of the recruiters that had come onto the college campus. I had gone to that career fair that afternoon, but it turns out that I was there looking for this free swag. I was picking up stickers and water bottles. They were saying the right things to the right people. And lo and behold, fast forward a couple of hours, they got invited to this invite-only reception that I didn't even know existed. So that was a big rude awakening. It made me realize that there's so much more to this process, that career fairs aren't just about learning. It's about saying the right things to the right people.
In writing this book, you talk to a lot of employees and employers about some of the challenges, the unexpected hurdles people can face in a new job. Take us to somebody's first day on the job. You're in a new place. As you read the book, it could be like being in a foreign country. How do we start to survey the landscape to figure out what those unspoken rules are?
Oh, there's so much to be dealing with. I would say that to start, it might be helpful to first think about whether your first day, first week resembles, to your point earlier, more of the first day in a new class where the syllabus is nicely laid out, where you have check-ins with this and that person, where your first assignments are nicely handed to you, clearly laid out as well. Or if it, to your point, is more like dropping yourself into a foreign country, where I've interviewed plenty of early career professionals and mid-career professionals alike who show up on their first day only to realize that their own manager doesn't even know that they're showing up and their coworkers are too busy to even be saying hello to them. And so if you find yourself in such a situation, it's helpful to really take ownership of the situation. There's this unspoken expectation that you won't just wait for assignments to come to you. You'll go up to your coworkers and to say, how can I be helpful? Is there anything I can do to be helpful? Or would it be helpful if I did X? And at the same time, proactively introducing yourself to your coworkers and saying, Rob, I don't think we've met. I'm the newbie on the team, came from this and that company. Nice to meet you. Would love to learn more about what you're working on and how I can be helpful. So these little steps that may seem like common sense in retrospect really may not be common sense, especially if you're expecting to have your hands held in that first day.
Talking to Gorik Ng about his new book, The Unspoken Rules, Secrets to Starting Your Career Off Right. You can join in at 800-642-1234 to share your experiences, maybe that bewildering first day on a job, what you wish you'd known coming in, how you overcame that, or if you're a manager, an employer, what kind of things do you wish your employees knew and how to demonstrate their abilities maybe from day one? 800-642-1234. A core of a lot of what you talk about, Gorik, for that maybe new or early career employee is demonstrating something you call the three C's. Can you spell those out for us?
Yes. The three C's stand for competence, commitment, and compatibility. And the idea is this. The minute you present yourself in a professional work setting, whether it's in a cover letter, an interview, your resume, and certainly on your first day, your coworkers, managers, and clients, they're sizing you up and they're asking themselves three questions. Question one, can you do this job well? Which is competence. Are you excited to be here? Which is question two. And that's what I call commitment. And finally, question three, are you excited to be here? Question two is, are you excited to be here, which is commitment. Mm-hmm. And finally, do we get along, which is compatibility. Your job as a newbie is to convince the people around you to answer yes to all three questions all the time, that yes, I can do this job well, that yes, I'm excited to be here, and yes, we can get along and we're compatible.
Let's talk about that compatibility, because it can be a challenge. And this is one point where you point out in the book, this can be unfair to some people. You as a first generation college graduate and your family and Asian American, other people who might one way or another, they're from a small town, they're working a big city job, one way or another, there's something that other people see them as not fitting in. When you're in that position, you can't instantly change people to accept people who are different than them. How do you meet them halfway?
It's tough. And I ended up providing a framework in my book where it's helpful to do some self-reflection before you show up, where you ask yourself, what are the elements of my identity that I consider to be sacred? What are the elements that I consider negotiable? And finally, what are the elements that I'm indifferent about? And different people will have different elements of their identity that they'll put into each of these three categories, where I've interviewed individuals who, for example, were Black women working in a very different environment from one that they're used to, and where they had to really make this trade-off between, well, do I straighten my hair on my first day or do I show up looking my natural self? There are others who will ask themselves, well, I have a name that others may not be as familiar with. Should I create a nickname for myself or should I allow others to be creating a nickname for me? And then certainly there are obstacles once you show up as well, where if all of your coworkers are talking about, let's say, the same sets of sports teams or vacation spots or television shows, and those aren't necessarily topics that you can relate to, it can feel isolating. And so the advice that I've heard from a number of career professionals is, you know, when in doubt, maybe ask a question. You can't necessarily say, oh, I went to the same vacation spot myself, which obviously would help in that compatibility aspect of things. But maybe you could show interest and say, oh, I've never been there before. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what that experience was like. Really, so much of this has to do with sparking relationships, which is one of these unspoken rules I talk about, which is really just finding excuses to turn someone who's otherwise a stranger into an acquaintance. And once you spark that conversation the first time, it becomes that much more easy to then take them from acquaintance mode to ally mode, which is really where you want to be.
Let's talk more about that. I'll say that's something that I was very shy about in my early work career, and still am, I'll be honest, of like, oh, there's a person, you know, maybe they could help me out in my career, or I could learn from them or something. But I don't know. I never really learned that that's a thing you could do. It feels like I'm imposing on somebody else. How can people be smarter than me and get over that challenge?
Well, you're not alone. I still feel that to this day, where I've certainly found it helpful, and I've heard the same advice mirrored by those I've interviewed, where it can be helpful to find someone who can see you as if you're early in your career, potentially as someone who can see you as a younger version of themselves, where if you're a new college graduate or a high school graduate or a community college graduate, can you find someone who may have graduated from the same institution or came from the same town or had the same extracurricular activities or social groups or religious groups? Finding even just that slightest hook to be able to say, like you, I blank, I went to this high school, et cetera, can make it a little bit less nerve-wracking to break the ice. And then the other piece that I hear a lot about from managers is to do your homework, which is another one of these unspoken rules around, you may not be able to small talk per se about your mutual TV show or band or musical artist, but maybe you could show interest in their work and say, I was doing some research on your recent efforts in XYZ. Would love to learn more about your efforts here and to see if I can help in any way. Would you have 15 minutes over the phone in the coming days to chat further? Again, it's really finding those excuses, which are around us all the time. They're hidden opportunities waiting for us to take advantage of.
We're talking to Gorik Ng from Harvard about his new book, The Unspoken Rules, Secrets to Starting Your Career Off Right. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Hey, are you about to graduate from something, high school or college, getting ready to hit the job market now? Need some advice from our guest on how to hit the ground running on day one on your job? What are you nervous about? Or if you have advice of your own to share with that new grad at whatever level about how to succeed at work, what do you wish you knew then that you know now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Gorik Ng, Research Associate and Career Advisor at Harvard. We're talking to him about his new book, The Unspoken Rules, Secrets to Starting Your Career Off Right. You can join in at 800-642-1234, maybe with your questions, your experiences from your early days on the job, your thoughts for first-timers in the work world. 800-642-1234 is the number. Gorik, something I love about your book is you say, hey, if you try my advice and it works for you, or you've been successful in the work world, pay it forward. Help that new person who's looking bewildered on the job. Why is that important to you?
Well, for me at least, and for so many others, over 500 contributors to this effort, this project wouldn't have happened had these 500 individuals not paid it forward to me. I wouldn't have been able to help my mom get back on her feet without others paying it forward to us. And I feel like the workplace would be so much more enjoyable of a place if we had that mindset where managers, it can be easy sometimes to be, I would say, maybe short-tempered, for lack of a better word, with your new grads, because they've been sitting in the classroom for whether it's 12 to 16 years plus, waiting for assignments to come their way, waiting passively for their professors to tell them what to do. It can be frustrating sometimes to work with a new graduate, an intern, an apprentice. But so many of us, well, I would argue all of us were once in that position. And so whatever frustrations that we each as individuals have encountered, if you're a manager, here's an opportunity for you to pay it forward to someone else who is following your footsteps. It just makes the world run better, and it makes the workplace that much more enjoyable place.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jay is with us in Madison. Jay, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call and wonderful, wonderful material. My question is this, and I thought this was fascinating when I first read about it. Zappos, in the beginning of their existence, would, and I don't have the exact days down correctly, but I know that they would offer a new employee $3,000 bonus after about 6 or 8 weeks to quit. And that would be a tool to separate sort of your C and B players to your A players who are devoted. I wonder what you think of that tool and what your thoughts are.
I had not heard about that, Gorik, have you?
I have, and I've always found it intriguing. I think I have somewhat of a, on the one hand, on the other hand, answer to this, where on the one hand, it totally makes sense in the sense that if you're not sure that this is a relationship that will go anywhere, perhaps it's like a date. Maybe it's better to call it quits early on than to continue walking down this path and to give an out to both sides. On the other hand, one thing I've started appreciating more and more over the course of this research is how top performers are very much developed and not born. And so when I think of early career professionals in the workplace, again, if you've been spending the last 12 to 16 years plus of your life passively sitting in the classroom waiting for instructions to come to you, it may feel quite foreign to have to take ownership and to be proactive in the workplace. And so a manager who may be a little bit less patient may see that individual as a low performer, even though they just haven't learned some of these unspoken rules. And so I would encourage managers who may find themselves wanting to call it quits on a new hire to really do some self-reflection around, have I actually made these expectations known and explicit, or am I expecting my new hires to be able to read my mind? Once you can check that box off, then I do think it's a good option. I'd be curious to get your thoughts as well.
Jay, what do you think?
This was presented, actually, it was a business case we did, and and we found it to be terrific trying to do just that, to separate the A players from the B players and the C players, and thinking that it would be effective, and the B and C players would probably end up costing the firm far more than $3,000 over time for all sorts of bullet points. So that to sort of, what is it, hire slowly and fire fast, or in this case, you're not firing, but you're giving them an opportunity to walk out themselves and move on. So the class, for the most part, and I was a student, went with thinking it was a pretty brilliant and radical idea.
Jay, thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate it. Gorik Ng is with us. His new book is called The Unspoken Rules, Secrets to Starting Your Career Off Right. Now, Gorik, you also talk about, you know, okay, you've got the job, you're doing well at the job, you've demonstrated your three C's, your competence, compatibility, and commitment. But you also talk about how to demonstrate potential, which sounds like a mysterious thing to me. How do you demonstrate what you could be, even though you're not that yet?
Right. Well, a framework that I introduce in the book is what's called the nine-box matrix. And listeners who have been a part of performance evaluation committees or work in human resources themselves might be familiar with this, where there are two axes. There's performance and there's potential. Performance is how good you are in your current job. Potential, on the other hand, is how well you can be expected to perform in your next job. So if you are, for example, a data analyst at a large corporation, well, performance might mean that you're doing your work fully, accurately, and promptly. You're number crunching and doing so accurately. However, if you want to get promoted, it's not always good enough to simply be able to crunch numbers. You need to show that you can communicate the insights that you're churning out. You need to be able to manage up and manage cross-functionally. You need to build relationships across the organization as well. This is where so many of these intangibles start coming in. And what so much of my book is about is showing that potential, showing that you can do more than just your baseline job. And when it comes to folks who may feel stuck, certainly there are a number of reasons why someone may not be getting promoted. But one of the common reasons I observe is someone expecting that they'll get promoted simply for doing their current job well, without necessarily taking that extra step, going the extra mile to show that, hey, I'm not just good at this current job. I can do all of these other things as well. I'm leadership material. You should be investing in my career just as I'm investing in the company.
In our last minute or so, Gorik, talk to those new grads out there. If they have the new job lined up or if they're still searching for it right now, it can be tough. What kind of encouragement would you offer them?
I would say give yourself credit for getting this far. When I talk to job seekers, especially during this pandemic, it can be easy and certainly demoralizing to think, well, I've only worked in retail, or I've only had this, or I haven't done this job before. One framework that I found helpful is to translate what you've done into the jobs that you're looking for. So a fill in the blank exercise that I like to do is to say, blank is just like blank. The only difference is blank. So if you were, for example, a paralegal and you want to work in marketing, just making this up, you may look at that experience and say, well, there's nothing that translates. But if you force yourself into such a framework, you could perhaps sell yourself as, hey, marketing is just like being a paralegal. The only difference is I'm selling a product or a service instead of selling my client at a law firm. Doing these little fill in the blanks can go a long way in not only giving yourself confidence, but also present you as more competent for the jobs that you're looking for. You have experience. You have what it takes. It's just a matter of conveying it and convincing yourself that you have it in you as well.
Gorik, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Gorik Ng, career advisor and research associate at Harvard University, with us to talk about his book, The Unspoken Rules, Secrets to Starting Your Career Off Right.